Hello, my name's Kieran Duggan. I'm the local democracy reporter for the BBC and the Kent Messenger Group, and I'm joined by Kent Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott, who has just been attending a virtual meeting of the Kent and Medway Police and Crime Panel. And it was agreed that taxes would be rising, the police bill that is, for Kent ratepayers by around 7.4%. Matt, what's your reaction to that, first of all, the fact that it was approved?
Well, I believe that the deal that I'm offering the taxpayers of Kent, 145 more police officers, investment in technology and equipment for £1.25 per month, because that's all this is, represents a good deal that will make people safer. I'm delighted that the panel has overwhelmingly supported this plan, and we look forward to implementing it as soon as possible.
And what sort of value for money will the Kent taxpayers be getting from the increase?
Well, Kent gets good value for money from its police force. It's rated as outstanding for how it uses its resources by independent inspectors. And for what they get, we have the seventh lowest funded police force in the country. We have one of the lowest council tax precepts in the country, even still. Our shared services with other police forces is saving millions of pounds every single year. And we're working together to save money on things like procurement. So I believe that Kent taxpayers do get really good value for money. That means that we're able to put more police out on the street, more PCSOs out on the street, and make crime come down again.
In the meeting, it was talked about some of the costs that will be needed to be met over the next financial year, some including COVID, Brexit, road traffic management plans as well will be feeding into that. I think you also mentioned Folkestone's Napier Barracks in the meeting as well. Some of the other costs that did prompt a little bit of concern from councillors was about some of the pay rises and the senior management in terms of the fact that they've delayed some of their retirement, and that's where some of the costs were going. Would you be able to just clarify that point for people listening?
So in terms of the cost, it's not relating to the increase in costs of senior management. What it is that officers of all ranks have put off their retirements because of the pandemic, because they want to carry on serving their community and serving our county. So that has meant that they've stayed probably for at least an extra year. But what that does mean is that comes at a cost. You know, it's a welcome move what they're doing, so there's no criticism inferred in any way. But given that it costs about £20,000 per officer who doesn't retire compared to replacing them with a new one, that is a cost pressure. And all of that adds up to around £6 million a year. Now, some of that will probably go down during the course of a whole financial year, but we've been prudent to plan for a continuation of those plans being put on hold so that they can carry on serving our county.
And alongside that, you were pointing out that no frontline services are going to be affected as a result of the increase in taxes. And as you pointed out, there will be more officers on the ground as well, 145, although that is partly being financed, or most of it, if not all, perhaps is being financed from the government. That's still, I guess, more police on the ground. That's the message you want to be putting out.
It is, and that's exactly what residents are getting. They're getting a package which sees 145 more police out on the streets of Kent, doing the things that residents want them to do, out in our local schools, investigating crime better. They'll be tackling the gangs and county lines, which people identify as a risk. And we still get to keep our PCSOs. We still get people in our force control room answering the phones quicker than they've ever done. The detention officers we need in custody and all of the other roles. This plan, yes, increases police numbers, but it also enables continuity at a time when police finances, as well as others, remain under significant pressure. So when you look at it as a whole, I think this represents a really good package for people.
And going forward, will there be flexibility around the rate of tax that Kent taxpayers will be expected to pay? So it was 7.4% this year. Could that change in years to come?
Well, the interesting thing is that every year I've been a PCC, the government has allowed a different rate of council tax. The idea being that they fixed it at 1.99% to try and keep council tax bills down. However, they've acknowledged that in areas like policing, where there are more costs that we've had to experience, they've allowed us that flexibility, if it's endorsed by our police and crime panels and the public, to put it up. I've got 75% support from the public this year for the proposal I put forward around the council tax, because I think for £1.25 a month, people realise that it is a good deal. But that doesn't mean we're just going to take the money. We're still going to be driving out efficiency. We're still going to be making sure it's being well spent. There are going to be no cuts, as far as I'm concerned, to the front line of policing. So people will still be safer as a result of all of this.
And as you said, it will mean that Kent will have the highest number of police officers in its history, nearly 4,000 by March 2022. That's the aim anyway. Moving away from that, something else that was brought up in the meeting that I think you're quite passionate about was about the criminal justice system, and the fact that you really wanted to see some improvements in terms of how long it takes for cases to be dealt with in the courts. Would you be able to just expand on that a little bit, please?
Absolutely. I know that all public authorities have had some pressures when it comes to coronavirus and the way that they operate. And in some circumstances, that's led to changes in the way they've had to operate and these services that they've been able to deliver. However, I've been really concerned that the court service hasn't kept pace with those changes. And what we're seeing is substantial delays now between cases being presented to the CPS and also the time which they're getting to court. So the police and the CPS are working to bring more charges to the court, but they're taking too long to get to court, or they're being put off for a very long time in the future. I know that there are cases which are being listed for January 2023 because the court service haven't ramped up capacity enough to get those victims justice. We desperately need a Nightingale Court. I've been working with ministers to call for one of those and get one of those delivered. We need those resources as soon as possible. Otherwise, I think victims are going to lose faith in the court system.
Could you, sorry, just clarify what a Nightingale Court is for people who aren't sure?
Sure. So the government has provided funding to enable extra courtrooms to be set up, maybe to deal with the fact that courts are not sufficiently socially distanced, which ours are not. You know, it's not possible to run the same number of trials because our courts don't, are, as you probably well know, don't lend themselves to social distancing because they're so old. But they are supposed to provide the capacity for them to be able to blitz trials, to get the waiting times down, to get more cases through the system. You've got them operating in other areas. Kent desperately needs one, and I'm working with the government to try and identify sites and resources in order to facilitate that. Without that, we're going to have too many delays in our court system.
Well, thank you very much. That's quite enlightening, I think, and people will be interested to hear about that.
I'll get you some data if you want it.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yes, please. And then moving away from that as well, COVID is the big thing that we're talking about at the moment. I was watching yesterday on the news, they had some officers working with BBC Southeast who were looking around some of the businesses who've been operating when they shouldn't be. There was a barber's in Offaly, for instance, and then there were some people in Dartford. I think a group of 20 people were playing football. What do you make of the third lockdown and the response from Kent Police so far? There's been more fines have been issued as well in the last month, haven't there, than in the previous lockdowns?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the first lockdown, Kent Police had issued about 127 fines for COVID-related breaches. We're now up to 1,300, which I think goes to show that Kent Police is ramping up its enforcement activity. They're still explaining, they're still engaging, they're still educating, but they're not taking excuses from people if they know that they're breaking the rules and they continue to do it, hence the increase in the number of fines. Now, I have every sympathy for businesses who are worried about their livelihoods. However, they still have to operate within the rules. And as much as people might sympathise with them, if they're going to operate in a way that draws a fine, they're going to be fined. So I think the Kent Police have handled the pandemic well. I think an independent report is coming out very soon, which is going to describe their activities as exemplary, which is a ringing endorsement from an agency which is not very well known for its positive reports. Overall, and I'd expect nothing less from what the independent inspectors already call an outstanding police force.
And as you pointed out, I think in a meeting as well, things will change as the pandemic changes and restrictions will be lifted. It's not going to be a permanent state of these regulations and rules. And just two quick other topics. There was talk with a coroner recently about smart motorways and some of the risks attached to that. Two people had been killed in an accident on the motorway. Do you have any sort of opinion on smart motorways in general, or the sort of way in which, do you have a view on that at all?
Yeah, my concern is they're not safe enough. I don't think there are enough refuge areas for people. I think that they are potentially a risk if people break down in light of carriageways. I know that they're supposed to improve things like congestion. However, I know that many local MPs, particularly here in Kent, have expressed similar concerns that they are simply not safe. I hope that the government will review their use and take action to make that safer, whether that is to increase the number of refuge areas or to go back to having a hard shoulder system.
And just finally, the elections is a big thing on your mind at the moment. And well, at the moment, hopefully it's going to be coming up in May, but it's, I guess it's still a little bit up in the air, but what are your sort of overall thoughts about that? Have you been having much preparation underway so far?
Well, my team and I are preparing for an election to take place on the 6th of May. My view on it is the election should only be held if it's safe to be held. If there is any reason that could draw risk for the election going ahead, we need to consider that very, very seriously. But I remain working hard. Yes, I'm still doing the day job, but I'm working with my team to still communicate in any COVID compliant way that I can, whether that's through postal surveys, telephone canvassing, online campaigning, fundraising events, without breaking any of the regulations. So I think that, you know, political parties have a responsibility to show leadership in this area that they can do it. We have been quite clear with all of our candidates, they have to follow this same guidance too. And any political party which is trying to exploit the rules and exploit the guidance should perhaps have a good hard look at themselves and what they're doing, putting their activists at risk.
And very finally, and how confident are you at winning the election? Or is that too personal a question to ask?
No. I mean, you know, in life, you should never take anything for granted. You know, I'm working very hard to win the election. I have a level of confidence, but you should never be complacent and you should never take voters for granted. So that's why I carry on doing the campaigning. I still talk to people. I'm still having meetings. I'm still asking people their views, because that element of it should never go away. You are, as I say, you're there every day, every week, every month, every year. You're not just there with a rosette on once every 4 years or 5 years in this case. So, you know, I very much hope to be returned in May. And we'll work on that basis.
Absolutely. I just have to press this though, but what policies will you be fighting for or campaigning on, I should say? Have you got any particular headline ones?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that the role of the PCC is to do three things. It's to fight crime. So my will be very much standing on a platform of reducing crime, which we have done in the last 12 months, 18,000 fewer crimes. Before that, a reduction of 5%, of putting more police out on the streets so that people see them, you know, shutting down county lines and gangs, which we are doing, putting more police officers into schools, into rural communities as well. You know, we are crime fighters as PCC, so I'll be very much going on a platform of fighting crime and also addressing antisocial behaviour. Secondly, it's to be a voice for victims of crime, so I'll be very much showing how I have delivered more services for victims of crime despite a challenging financial envelope, so that more people are getting support when they need it, when they want it. And then finally, it's to be a champion for the communities that you serve. And I think that if you were to look at my track record over the 5 years, not just in terms of cutting crime, but putting more police on the street. Rural communities are very supportive of the fact we've increased the rural policing team. Road safety is a big priority of people. We've put more resources into road safety. So I've been a crime fighter. I've been a voice for victims. I've been a champion for our local communities, and I pledge to carry that work on.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time, Matthew.
Pleasure, Kieran. And,